It's Sunday morning, and for one more time this summer, you know what that means. It's time for the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Alley, Matt Marchese here with you. That's right, it's Super Bowl Sunday, my friends. The culmination of everything we do in the football world as the Chiefs and Eagles will play for the Lombardi Trophy later this evening. You can get your Kansas City barbecue ready, your Philly cheesesteaks ready as well, because I'm sure it will be a terrific game. As I mentioned off the top, today is also the final episode of the Fantasy Show this year. We're off until the summer after today, but I'm sure you'll still hear both Marchese and myself between now and then. They keep us busy. But fantasy football does take a bit of a nap until the summer, unless you are D-gens like us and have already begun your mock drafts. A few of our fellow D-gens will also stop by in a few minutes. Some of our fellow producers here at Sportsnet get their takes on the Super Bowl and fantasy and gambling today as well to wrap up the show. But Mr. Marchese, first of all, how are you this morning? What are your plans this Super Bowl Sunday? Like, you're going to a party? Are you staying at home? Like, what's on the schedule today for you?
Okay, so I hate to be this person, but this is going to be the first year in a long time where I actually have zero Super Bowl plans, because I had a buddy and who lives on my street, and his daughter's around the same age as my daughter. And he looked at me, he goes, "Are you doing something for Super Bowl?" I go, "Well, what am I going to do? My daughter goes to bed at like 7:30. Can't be loud in the house. Can't really go anywhere. So, yeah, this is our life right now. So I do plan on ordering a pizza. I'm probably going to eat my feelings away because my team is not in the Super Bowl, and hopefully win some money back to pay for said pizza. And it'll be probably a quiet night at the Marchese Estate here in north of the GTA in Beaton, Ontario.
All right. Well, I hope your pizza arrives on time with all the toppings you order. I mean, never really know on Super Bowl Sunday. I am going to a party. I have this tradition with one of my pals from high school that basically every year we have been able to, like, sometimes he's been away for school. Like, he went to McGill and I went to U of T. So there was a couple of years where he was living in Montreal and I was living here that we couldn't get together. But essentially, since we both graduated from university, which was like well over 10 years ago at this point, we always watch the Super Bowl in some way, shape, or form together. So it's like either he'll come over to my place or I'll go over to his place. He and his dad and his brother are huge Eagles fans, like massive Eagles fans. I remember when I watched the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, I guess it was in 2017, I think, and 2017, 2018. And when they won, I was wearing like my Drew Bledsoe jersey and he was wearing his, like, I think it was a Carson Wentz jersey, despite the fact that Wentz obviously wasn't playing. I know, right? And I remember after they won, then he like cried. He like legitimately cried. So I don't know if that's going to happen today if the Eagles win, because I feel like it's probably always a little different when they win their very first Super Bowl ever. But it is going to be kind of fun being at an Eagles party, I guess. Like, I guess only if the Eagles win. If the Chiefs win, I have a feeling it'll be a little bit morbid.
Yeah, I haven't been to very many Super Bowl parties where the team, like somebody that I'm with, is a fan of said team.
Right.
I only did it once, and we were actually, it was a bunch of fan people and former fan people. Mm-hmm. And we were at Ryan Walsh used to produce Primetime Sports. It was my first year working with the Fan. And
Walsh let you into a party in your first year?
He did. Wow. He did, yeah, because I was working on Primetime Sports with him. So we actually watched the game, and that was it was the Harbaugh Bowl. Okay. Niners and the Ravens. Right. And technical operator Lance Kennedy was there, and he's a Niners fan. And needless to say, he was not thrilled with the result of the game. And Lance got very angry in the post game. So yeah, I've only experienced it once, but listen, this should be a fun Super Bowl. If you're just a fan of football, which you and I both are, and many of our listeners are, that this should be a high scoring affair. It should have plenty of excitement. Like, it does feel like it could be a Super Bowl for the ages. It really could. Two quarterbacks that are playing very well. One of them, as you know, like Peyton Manning said, has already made his case to be, you know, whatever he does after this weekend, he should be in the Hall of Fame anyway. Very high praise for a guy who hasn't been in the league, you know, that long. But regardless of that fact, this should be a a really fun game. And now, because I said that, we all know what's going to happen. It's going to be 17-10.
Either that or one team will win, like, the Seattle Denver Super Bowl, right? One team will win by, like, 30 points.
Oh, that was brutal. Oh, my God. Was that ever awful?
Oh, boy. I only remember that game because I think I want to say, first of all, that I think the first play of the game was a safety, right? It was like the ball goes over Manning's head and he gets tackled in the end zone for a safety. And I want to say the second half kickoff was returned for a touchdown by Percy Harvin. And that, like, it was already out of reach, and then that just further put it out of reach. And then the funny thing is, I also watched that game with one of my friends who is a Seahawks fan, and they were quite excited. So it was actually kind of like a very festive atmosphere. So I am hoping for that case today.
You talked about the safety there. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first scoring play in back-to-back Super Bowls, and that would have been the second year that a safety was the first score in the game. Like, it had never happened before, I don't think. And then it happened 2 years in a row or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
All I remember is that seeing the tickets cashed on Twitter, where people are like showing their screenshots of like all the random things they bet on, and I feel like for everyone who bet like, you know, $5 on the safety being the first play of the game at like plus 50,000 or whatever it probably was, probably paid for all of their prop bets for the entire Super Bowl and then some. I'd imagine.
It was 2 out of 3 years.
Okay, there you go.
So the first one was, I remember the first one for sure, was Brady, an intentional grounding penalty in the end zone, mm-hmm. which is a safety. And actually, there was a guy who won it 2 out of 3 years, and he won like $50,000 on a bet or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was that one, and then the one like you mentioned. So I will not be placing a prop bet on safety to be the first score in this game.
No, I also will not be placing a prop bet on the safeties. I do like to place prop bets on a number of things, I will say. Okay, I've freely admitted on this show many times that I'm not the most prolific gambler, but I do like betting on all of the silly things, right? Like, I love betting on what color Gatorade is going to be poured on the winning coach. Like, what color are, how long is the national anthem going to be? Over, under on the national anthem length? What's the first song sung by the halftime performer? What's the last song sung by the halftime performer? Like, is there going to be any other artists that go on stage? And like, it also, obviously there's some qualifications. Like, they can't just appear on stage. They have to actually sing music on stage as well. There are a lot of prop bets that are like beyond the actual like over unders of the game or anytime TDs or over unders for receiving yardage or receptions or whatever. I love all of the prop bets, but some for me are a little more equal than others when it comes to the silly fun ones. So why don't you, if you have a couple, Matt, hold on to them. I have a couple as well. I wanted to get to those before we wrap up the show and send you off to Inside the Lines. And I'm going to get a couple from our fellow producers. So Mark Boffo is going to join us in about 5 minutes. And Daniele Franceschi will join us 10 minutes after Boffo. And Austin Mackey, our terrific technical director, will chime in as well to wrap things up with us. But since this is our last show until the summer, okay, I went and grabbed some questions to ask ahead of the football off season, because not only is today the last show of the fantasy show until, like, you know, probably July, I would imagine. I also think this is with the Super Bowl being the last game of the NFL calendar, effectively until like the Hall of Fame game when the preseason starts, we're not going to get a lot of time to talk about things like burning fantasy football questions. So I went and pulled some of my friends, some of our coworkers, guests we've had on shows like football guests or you know, fantasy gambling guests or whatever. And I got a bunch of them to give me some questions to ponder as we go into the NFL offseason after today. So they're all fantasy-related questions. You cool to give some of them maybe a try, give some of them some answers here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I'd gotten to this one. I thought this was interesting. This is from Mark in Brampton. And this kind of looks ahead to the drafting strategy. Like, I know a lot of people are already doing mock drafts just to see what it looks like. But this question is from Mark. It was simply, what is the better drafting strategy this year in 2023? Like, do you take the best possible running back early in the first few rounds, or do you go wide receiver heavy? And I think this probably, to a degree, Matt, does kind of tie into, remember that conversation we had a couple weeks ago with Bob Harris, and he kind of talked about the idea of the hero running back strategy as opposed to the zero running back strategy, which essentially means you pick one really good running back, and then you eventually get some very late round running backs to fill in around this guy instead of getting like no good running backs and aiming for the later round running backs. I'm curious what your strategy will be, knowing what we know right now. And obviously things can change by the NFL draft if like Bijan Robinson is going super highly or whatever. But I'm curious, what is your best draft strategy going into 2023 fantasy football drafts?
I think what we've seen is the elite wide receivers really kind of take a step forward to the point that they are the focal points of their offenses more so than what we've seen with running backs. And we've seen, you know, legendary performances from Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams went to a worse situation and still produced as, I think it was wide receiver 3. Stephon Diggs, we thought, had an off year and was still wide receiver 4. I think the elite wide receivers are going to be moving up the boards. And I think that's kind of, and with that being said, I think you're going to be able to push running backs into the second round. So I do like the idea of having a workhorse running back, because there's very few of them that are left. But if I had one of the top 3 picks, like if I could get McCaffrey, if I could get Eckler, if I could get Saquon Barkley, if he ends up back with the Giants, which I think he's going to, then I would take one of those 3 guys. After that, I think you're looking at top wide receivers. I think you're looking at your Jamar Chases and your Justin Jeffersons and you know, depending on who the quarterback is in Vegas, Devontae Adams. I think that's kind of where I'm going with it. If I can lock up, you know, one of the very few running backs that are, you know, workhorses, then I will do that in the top 3 picks. But if those guys aren't available, like if I have 4, 5, 6, whatever, right, I'm going to lock up a wide receiver, because I know what's going to happen is I'm going to be able to get some value at the running back position in the second and third round. Because listen, we all know what happens. Okay. You're going to have the running backs that are going to go 1, 2, maybe 3, and then it's going to open up some opportunities for you. What's going to happen is as soon as that first wide receiver goes off the board, you might see runs now, because people are going to have that same thought process of, okay, Justin Jefferson's off the board, I got to try and get Jamar Chase, I got to try and get Tyreek Hill, any of those guys. So I think that's where you're going to have, like, Jonathan Taylor didn't have a good year. Do we not think that there's a chance that Jonathan Taylor could be available on the turn? Like, it's very possible.
It's possible.
Because of the year that he had. I mean, is it super likely? Maybe not, but it's still possible. And so I think that you're going to have those types of guys that are going to be available. And I also think, and this year was a prime example of it, look at the guys that ended up taking over and being high quality running backs that you could have drafted later. Ramondre Stevenson was a top 10 back. Tony Pollard was a top 10 back. Like, those two guys specifically were ones that people had targeted and then later rounds, because if the quote unquote starter went down, they would have value. Well, guess what? Both of those guys did not even need the starter to go down. They just overtook those backfields and ended up producing. So there's going to be guys that are like that. You know, I talked a lot about James Cook on the show. Everybody knows that I love James Cook, but if you could get, you know, a top 15 performance from James Cook, but you draft him as RB24 or 25, that's the type of value that you can get later on. And if you have that, you know, hero running back like Bob Harris talked about, where you have that one workhorse, you know, even if it's, you know, whatever running back ends up in Miami, or if it's Josh Jacobs, right? So those guys are going to be able to provide you with, I think, running back 1 numbers, and then you're going to be able to get value in the 20s and 30s of guys that could move up. But because you have that great floor with really good wide receivers, it allows you to make those changes. I just think that wide receivers are a little bit more predictable than running backs at this point.
Well, we all, you and I also like to do all of our rankings for like half PPR leagues, which probably gives a lot of running back, wide receivers a bit of a boost. But I would say definitely McCaffrey, Eckler, Jefferson are the top three picks. But, and you're right, Taylor could probably slide a little bit. But if you look at the rest of the wide receivers in the top 10, it probably is. Okay, tell me if I'm wrong. I would say Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, and maybe Devontae Adams and Diggs, depending on how you feel about other guys in the top 10, top 12, like a Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. Like I see some people say that Kenneth Walker, for example, should be a top, maybe a top 12 or a first round pick. Let's call it that way. He should be a first round pick. Where do you fall on that?
No, I don't think Kenneth Walker is a first round pick. Right. I think Kenneth Walker is probably mid second to late second. But if I had my choice between, if he's a first round, if people think he's a first round pick, I'll pose this question to you. Are you taking AJ Brown or are you taking Kenneth Walker?
Oh yeah. I gotta take, it's not a diss against Kenneth Walker, but I mean, based on what he,
it's AJ Brown.
Year, it's AJ Brown. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So here's another one based on the season that he had, another guy that finished as a top 12 wide receiver. Would you take AJ, Devonta Smith? Or would you take Kenneth Walker?
Ooh, you know what?
It's close.
I might take Walker in that case, but it's very close. Like, it depends on who else is available, probably.
Yeah, it's very close because, and even another one, T. Higgins is in that conversation. Now, there's a chance that T. Higgins isn't even playing for the Cincinnati Bengals next year because apparently he wants all the money, and I don't blame him.
I did see
that. Because he had a great year. But like there, you could make the case, like a guy like T. Higgins could end up falling to the third round, a player who finished as a top 12 wide receiver, or maybe he was 13. I think he was top 12. So you have value there. And then there's going to be other value with rookie wide receivers, because it seems that every year rookie wide receivers are balling out, like, you know, Garrett Wilson and Christian Watson at the end of the season. And, you know, so there's going to be value there. But I think those elite wide receivers, you talked about Cooper Kupp. If he comes back healthy, you're going to be able to get, I think, insane value on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, that's not often you get value on elite wide receivers in the first round when it comes to a guy like Cooper Kupp, who arguably could have been a top five pick this past season before his injury. Let's bring in our guest, an elite producer on his own right, Mr. Mark Boffo, joining us here to help us wrap up the fantasy show. He is the producer with our own Austin Mackey of the JD Bunkus podcast, and will be in a very short period of time again the producer of Blair and Barker. Boffo, how's it going?
I'm doing well, guys. How about you? Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
I know. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I can't believe the season is basically is essentially over after today. It's exciting, and I'm also kind of sad about it, but it does mean, I was telling this to Marchese before we brought you on, simply that it does mean we can, at least from a fantasy perspective, Boff, we can start, you know, like as the degens we all are, start doing our mock drafts. I was just debating this with Marchese. I'm sure you heard a little bit of this when we brought you on. Is Kenneth Walker a first round pick next year?
Oof, putting me on the spot here. I would say he's definitely in the mix. If not the first round, then, you know, maybe early second. It's hard to dislike everything he did this year in Seattle, but yeah, I'd say he's got to be in the mix there. I couldn't say definitively first, but yeah, I think he's probably in the mix in the back half there.
I only ask because, sorry, Marchese, I only ask Boff because Boff finished, I'm pretty sure, I think first in the regular season in our fantasy league, like the league that the three of us are in, for right here at the station. And I think, unfortunately, due to some really crazy injuries, I think you got knocked out in the first round, Boff. Not to relive the pain.
That's how it goes. That's fantasy football in a nutshell for you. What can I tell you? You run into a hot team, not necessarily the best team, but yeah, that's how it goes.
Listen, Boffo had, you had Kelsey this year, didn't you?
I think so.
Okay, so Boffo was the not-so-lucky recipient of those horrible playoff performances from Travis Kelce, which everybody kind of had locked in. Okay, so since we're talking about Travis Kelce, I'll ask you this, Boffo. If you're watching this game, you're maybe going to place a wager on it, and you've seen what Travis Kelce's done in these playoffs. If you had to make a bet where Travis Kelce is 7-plus receptions and 85-plus yards, do you think that's a lock? because he's been pretty much automatic, and he has absolutely owned the middle of the field in the playoffs.
I mean, listen, you're asking me to go against one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. The guy's been lights out. I think seven receptions is a little high, Maddie. I mean, I would be a little trepidatious there, but yeah, I mean, if you're going to put down, some coin on Travis Kelce to have over 80 yards, and I think that's a lock for sure. The yardage, I think he's the go-to guy. We saw what happened in that 13-second game with the Bills. You're going to hit, and there's no more Tyreek Hill, so he's the guy. And I mean, if you're going to be confident in laying money down on somebody that's a pass catcher for the Chiefs, obviously I'm not shocking the world by saying Travis Kelce is probably the guy you want to hitch your wagon to.
The other thing, you know, I've been thinking about this game, and I had some conversations with people, and you know, the question is like, what do you expect in this game? And I keep coming back to this idea that it's going to be a high scoring game, and people keep saying, well, what about the Eagles defense? And my comeback to that is always, well, who have they played this year that you look at and say, that's a really formidable offense? The only one that they played that you look at and go, yeah, that offense was really good, and maybe they had an off game, was the Vikings, but that was back in week two. And so a lot has changed since then, and you can't go off of what the Eagles did the last two playoff games, because listen, the Giants were vastly outmatched. They're not a great offensive team. The Niners had Brock Purdy hurt. They're on to, you know, their fourth string quarterback, and then he gets hurt. I think it was Josh Johnson, and then Christian McCaffrey is your quarterback. I mean, would you be at all surprised if both of these teams score 30 points each?
Okay, so here's my kind of, I've been going back and forth about the game for the last 2 weeks, like everybody has. I think it's a really close matchup it's a tough matchup to predict. Here's my thing. You mentioned, I'll just say it right off the bat, you're saying 30 points each year. I'm already kind of leaning the under. I don't think I can't say for sure that, you know, that's how it's going to go, but I just think that it could be a little bit similar to the Super Bowl last year, where it was also two high scoring teams, but you saw they were trying to feel themselves out a bit. And I don't know, I just feel like it could be a bit closer. I mean, we don't know exactly how, you know, how healthy Mahomes and Hurts are respectively. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think they've had some time to recoup, but I just feel like 51 is a bit of a high number, and if I had to make a pick here, guys, on which team I like, I think I have to take the Chiefs. I mean, I was ready to go Eagles all the way, and you know what it comes down to for me, guys, is just the whole experience factor. I mean, that's what's really tipping the scale for me, because I have nothing else to go by, because I just think it is going to be a close game. But you mentioned the Brock Purdy thing, and I actually really liked the Eagles in the NFC Championship, because my whole thing was Brock Purdy, for as good as he's been, he hasn't had to really face any adversity. I mean, he was 7-0, and all he had to do was, you know, play a clean game because the Niners defense was that good. And I was like, you know what, but now you're facing the Eagles, who are really, really good and probably the toughest test that he's had to face. And look what happened. I mean, listen, you can say that the Niners got dealt a bad hand, that he got knocked out of the game, but the Eagles defense knocked him out of the game because they're that good. So now I'm looking, so I kind of am taking that sort of mentality, like the Brock Purdy experience thing kind of showed its head in the NFC Championship. And now I kind of think the Chiefs are the team that it's the Super Bowl now. They've been there. Like, yeah, they've lost one, they've won one, but like, they've got the experience. They know what the buildup's like. They've seen it before. So I think in a game that's this close, I'm kind of leading the Chiefs and the under.
Boff, before we let you run, do you have any other prop bets that you want to get to? We're going to do our own prop bets in like 20 minutes here, but I'm curious if you are looking at any, maybe one or a couple prop bets for the big game today.
You know what, guys? One that I'm kind of looking at is just, Isaiah Pacheco versus Miles Sanders, like in a head-to-head rushing stat thing. I think it's like, if you can get, like, I think on some books you're seeing stuff like plus 14 and a half yards. Like, Sanders is favored to have more rushing yards, but if you can get Pacheco to, you know, to finish within like 14, 15, 16 yards of Miles Sanders, I really like that bet. I just think that Hurts can run, Gainwell can run, Boston Scott gets used sometimes, whereas, you know, they have McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back now, but he hasn't really been a factor, and McKinnon is more of a, you know, a pass catcher out of the backfield. So I think Pacheco, he can break off some big runs, or he has the ability to, I should say, and I don't think that's a bad bet at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that one, actually. Pacheco, he runs very, like, angrily. You know what I mean? Like, he runs with a lot of purpose, which you don't often see from rookie running backs. So I like that one. In the head-to-head, you don't see that too often. We're chatting with Mark Boffo, one of our fellow producers here at Sportsnet, working on the J.D. Bunkus podcast, and soon also Blair and Barker. Boffo, enjoy the big game, and I'm sure I'll see you tomorrow or later on this week.
Sounds good, boys. Enjoy.
There he goes, Mr. Mark Boffo from Sportsnet. Yeah, I like that one, actually. Pacheco versus Sanders. I think a big question for me, Matt, will be simply, can the Eagles' run game continue to get going against the likes of, you know, Chris Jones and Frank Clark and the various very talented members of the Chiefs' defensive line? But it's like, if they get past these guys, and they're getting into the secondary and so on. I mean, again, it's not like, I don't think Miles Sanders is exactly a world beater here, but I am curious to see how the Eagles offensive line will let the run game get going against arguably one of the best defensive players in the NFL.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm very curious, because we saw what the Chiefs did against the Bengals the last time that these two, that the Chiefs were on the field. And man, the Chiefs defense, I feel like in big moments, has come up this year, whereas early in the season you're kind of like, oh, the Chiefs defense, they're not very good, they're bad again. But they got progressively better as the season went on, and I'd be very curious to see, like, this isn't one that I a prop that I have seen anywhere. I mean, I saw it on Twitter and somebody mentioned it,
okay,
talking about comparing the running backs. This one was Isaiah Pacheco to have more catches than Miles Sanders.
Okay.
And Pacheco is the favorite in that, and Miles Sanders has only caught one catch in his last four games. So that right there should give you an indication of kind of where things are at with the Philly offense. Miles Sanders is going to run the ball, and the other guy, Kenneth Gainwell, who I'm going to give you some props for that I like, he's going to be the guy who catches passes. But that is, I think that's a pretty solid bet. And Pacheco had five catches for 50 yards last week as well.
Wow. Okay. I like that one. That's for sure. Let's bring in our next guest to get some more prop bet goodness. Daniele Franceschi, who is the producer of the Fan Morning Show with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert. I also participated in a fantasy football league with Daniele this year. Daniele, neither of us won this year. What the heck's going on, man?
Well, that was a rough year for me, show, but I did win last year, so we'll take the W from that. Move forward. I'll attribute it to the fact that I had to be commissioner and step up, and you passed along the duties to me, and then there was also some bad vibes that came along with that in terms of the results. But, yeah, no, all good.
You know,
but, that's fantasy football, as we say.
Yeah, that's funny, man. I passed off the commissioner duties to you in this league, and then in the other league I'm in with Marchese, I became the commissioner of that league. So there's no escaping it. You can't escape it. It comes for you in the end if you're into fantasy football.
I'm with you on that. There's like some bad juju that goes around. Like, you can't escape it. We always, and you know, it's funny, you always get on commissioners, and it's the same in fantasy sports. It doesn't change.
No.
It doesn't matter. Even if it's real life or fantasy, there's people that still come for your throat as a commissioner.
Exactly. I was chatting with Marchese before we brought you on about various prop bets to we're looking at here for Super Bowl Sunday, Chiefs and Eagles, that game going later tonight in Super Bowl 57. Are there any that come to mind for you? Like, I was saying to Marchese that I personally love betting on, like, the halftime show and the national anthem and the Gatorade and all that stuff. Are there any actual quote unquote real prop bets that you like to bet on?
Oh, see, I'm the opposite, where I like to focus on the game and the in-game props as opposed to all the novelty items that get offered for the Super Bowl. Yes, I have a lot that I have here that I wrote down and I like. I'm very simple, though. I'm very basic. I look at, for me, I bet this last year with Matthew Stafford, and it worked out well for me. But I like Patrick Mahomes over 25.5 completions. You can also even double that and go with his passing attempts, 39.5. Both very favorable in terms of the results. He's hit on the 25.5 mark in terms of completions for his last 7 games. 5 out of his last 8 for the over in passing attempts, so into the 40s. So I like that. And, I mean, it's hard not to ride with Travis Kelce. His receiving prop line was set at 78.5 for the AFC title game. He missed out on hitting that number by a half a yard. So I think doubling down on him, he's the one guy that is the focal point of that offense that Mahomes trusts. And then, of course, even with the way the Eagles play, that's an area of the field that, you know, Kansas City can attack, is the middle of the field. They're very good with their corners and their secondary. It would be logical to think they're going to try and throw the football to number 87 a lot. So I like those. And I had a couple other ones that are a bit further down the board that I thought would be interesting. Jerick McKinnon, anytime touchdown. It's a plus number. He hasn't scored a TD this playoffs. He hasn't found the end zone. But he ended the regular season with 6 straight games with a touchdown. He's involved in all those little quirky passing schemes that they have, especially in the red zone. He gets those looks. So I kind of like that. And then George Karlaftis, he's the one guy that nobody's talking about. Everybody's talking about Frank Clark, Chris Jones, and then obviously all the Eagles' incredible pass rushers. George Karlaftis to record a sack in this game is like plus 165. I saw it this morning. And he's done that in 3 out of his last 5 games. He also had a half sack in one of the games. So he's been involved heavily in the pass rush for the Chiefs throughout this run up until this point. So I kind of like that as a little bit of a sneaky play.
So speaking of props, and you mentioned Mahomes there. So if he's got 25 plus completions, and if he's going to throw the ball, what did you say it was, 36 times or 39 times?
It's 39.5, I think.
So where are you at on his yardage total? I see on one of the books at 291.5. It does feel like every time Mahomes gets out there that he could throw for 325 plus. Where are you at on the yardage total if you're going along with the completions and the passing attempts?
I think you could jump hitch your wagon to that. And I'm always a little bit skittish sometimes on the yardage total because then you're essentially banking on a guy throwing for 300 plus here. But the reason I actually like the completion and even the attempts number, and there's probably a correlation with the yardage, but I like those two in particular because I think the game script either way is going to be conducive to him throwing the football. That's too much part of the identity of their team. So they're going to drop back. They're going to throw it. And whether he's hitting the yardage total or not, that means either A, they're leading this game and it's maybe a high-scoring affair, or B, they're trailing and they need to throw it. So I feel like it's a bit safer in that regard to where you might get an opportunity. We know what the identity of that team is. They're going to throw the football. And I felt very similarly last year with the Rams. I can't remember what Stafford's yardage total ended up being, but I know they threw it a ton. And he ended up, even it was a close game, obviously, he ends up throwing it a ton. And I remember he hit both of those marks last year.
I like it, actually. I've been furiously writing all of these down while you've talking, so something tells me I'm going to be placing a couple of dollars on basically all of the bets that you and Boffo and Marchese have listed. And, of course, in about half an hour's time, we're going to get all the prop bets you can handle with Inside the Lines with George and the boys. So I think a lot of prop bets coming at you this morning. But we got some courtesy of our very own Daniele Franceschi, who is the producer, the terrific producer of the Fan Morning Show with Ailish and Justin. Daniele, we appreciate you stopping by this morning for us. Enjoy the rest of your morning and enjoy the big game today.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy it. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Big one tonight. And, you know, the sad part is then, once the calendar flips to tomorrow, then we're in the offseason. We realize we've got 9 months until there's a football game, or 8 months, whatever it is. That's the part that sucks.
That's okay. We can we'll have you back on to talk some NFL draft. How does that sound?
Oh, I love that. Let's do it. It's fantastic.
There he goes. Daniele Franceschi, again, the fantastic producer of the Fan Morning Show, featuring Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert. We're going to step aside. and take a very quick break. When we come back, our own technical director and producer, Austin Mackey, will join us on the air. We'll get some of Austin's prop bets. And I do want to answer a couple more of these questions, fantasy questions, heading into the fantasy and NFL offseason. One more segment to go on the Fantasy Show. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One more segment to go on the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you until the top of the hour. Inside the Lines follows us next for all of your prop betting goodness. This Super Bowl Sunday, Chiefs and Eagles playing in Super Bowl 57 later on this afternoon. Very exciting. It's the end of the NFL season, but still which promises to be probably one of the best games of the season. And it seems pretty fitting for that to come in Super Bowl Sunday. So we appreciate you being alongside us. We got about 15 minutes left here, Maddie. We heard from Boffo. We heard from Daniele, our two of our fellow producers here at The Fan. I want to bring into this conversation for the last couple of minutes here on the show our loyal board op technical director and producer, Austin Mackey, who drags himself in here very early every single Sunday in addition to his normal job. So, Austin, are you keeping awake today? Like, did you have your coffee this morning? How's it going today, man?
Never a drag show. It's an absolute pleasure, first off. I'm well, thank you. Had the coffee. Good to go. Got all the bets in the bet slip. Boys are having a big night tonight.
So what are you doing? Like, what are your party plans? Like,
I'm lame. So my party plans are I'm going to my father's, and I will be watching it in Lincoln, Ontario with my brother, my dad, and my uncle, and coming back here very early tomorrow for the J.D. Bunkus podcast, 9 a.m.
Okay, look.
Nothing lame about that.
No, not at all. I do have to ask, because as most people know, anyone who is born and raised in the city of Toronto doesn't know where anything is beyond the borders of the GTA. First of all, actually, you know what? First of all, is Lincoln a part of the GTA?
Lincoln is not a part of the GTA, okay. Actually. You're just okay. Getting out of there, out of the Hamilton region.
Okay, it's near Hamilton. Okay. One of my friends lives in, like, one of my good friends, like, I was the best man at his wedding. He lives in East Gwillimbury, and I was shocked. I was shocked when he told me that East Gwillimbury is a part of the GTA. I was like, oh,
I was just there last night.
The GTA goes so far. It's a gigantic area, Marchese. Did you know that? I didn't know that, honest to God.
I was just there last night.
So you were in the GTA last night is what you're saying.
Yeah, I was actually in East Gwillimbury for a game last night. I was coaching hockey.
Did you guys win?
We did.
Oh, well, there you go.
We win a lot. Not tournaments, but we win a lot.
Look, guys, before we get to Austin's prop bets and the rest of our prop bets, Marchese, I do want to ask a couple more of these questions, these fantasy questions. And this one was brought up to me by my pal, Kejavin Scarborough. And it's relevant because you and I, Marchese, have talked so much about the wasteland that is the fantasy tight end position. Tight ends are just, they exist in some void if you essentially don't have a Travis Kelce or a George Kittle, or in most years, apart from this one, a Mark Andrews, for example. But the question was, what do you think of turning the tight end spot into a wide receiver tight end flex spot? So not a running back wide receiver tight end, just wide receiver tight end flex. Does that devalue tight ends too much, or does it help account for, like, the wasteland that is tight ends? I'm curious where you fall on that.
I would like to keep the tight end position as is, and the reason is this: it changes draft strategies. Like, if you can go one of two ways, and I found that this year was even worse than others, but we can talk about that a different day. But what I think it does is it makes you decide, am I going to go early on tight end, or am I going to completely punt at the position and pray for, you know, somebody like an Evan Ingram again this year? Or, you know, you got TJ Hawkinson probably a little bit later, and he ended up finishing as the tight end too. So I think that really makes you think about your draft strategy a little bit more, because I feel like if you keep it as a wide receiver or tight end position, then you've essentially you're just punting, and it's just a modified flex spot. And I don't love that. I would much rather keep it. I think where it would get super interesting is, instead of going wide receiver, tight end in like a modified flex, go to a tight end premium league And then that makes that tight end position that much more valuable and really changes your draft strategy. So if you're thinking about going that way with wide receiver tight end, I would suggest making it a tight end premium league and see how high Travis Kelce goes in a league like that. Like, he probably goes close to first overall in a tight end premium league.
A TE premium is where, for people who are not aware, when like additional points are allowed for tight ends, right? Like, you get like like tight ends specifically would get like an extra half point per like reception or whatever instead of all positions, for example. So yeah, you're probably right. Travis Kelce would probably be the number one or number two over, even at like however old he's going to be next year. He's probably still going to be pretty highly drafted if you are in a tight end premium league. Austin, what do you think? I know you're a big fantasy guy. What do you think of a wide receiver tight end spot instead of an only tight end position?
I don't hate it. I think it's cyclical though, right? I think you see tight ends are they had a bad year this year. I think you could absolutely see the position group bounce back next year. You know, Kyle Pitts will have a better year next year. I don't think Mark Andrews will be next year. Well, he can't have a worse year, can he? But I also I've never heard of that tight end premium idea. I really like that though. That's a really interesting twist. Yeah. I think I would lean towards that overall.
All right, yeah, it's not a bad one. I've seen them take place, Marchese, but I've never actually participated in one myself. But I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. Maybe that's something to consider for our league next year. Okay, we got a couple minutes left here. We got about less than 10 minutes left here. Why don't we get to Austin's prop bets, Marchese's prop bets, and I got a couple myself. Why don't we start with our technical director, Austin? Austin, I know you're are a degen. Like you're just like George. Like you love the gambling.
I love to put a shekeler down too.
One of the first conversations I ever had with Austin was about like, that was a goal, it was scored a goal, the Leafs scored the, and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is hardcore about his gambling. Like, what's on the bet card today for you, Austin?
It still was a goal, still should stand, but we're moving on. Today I got Isaiah Pacheco over 68.5 rushing plus receiving yards at -120. I think you're gonna see a pattern here with my bets. I think the Chiefs will win. I like the Chiefs. I think if they are to win, Isaiah is going to have a huge game. He had a career high in receiving yards last week against the Bengals. Not necessarily expecting that to carry on, but the Eagles have the 10th worst rush defense by EPA this year. I think Pacheco has a big game. With that, though, I think that the Chiefs team total goes over 24.5 points. I think the Chiefs win. I think they're going to score more than 24.5 points. And on top of that, with all those two, I got Patrick Mahomes winning Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh, okay.
Because I like the Chiefs, and if the Chiefs are to win, it is most likely that the quarterback wins. You can get him at +120 at most books. That's a great number, Patrick Mahomes for MVP.
I like that. I actually forgot about all the Super Bowl MVP things. I always find myself putting like the you know, if you have like 45 cents, $50.45 in your betting account or something. And usually it's much less than that. But let's say it's like you have all the kind of like random side numbers in the accounts. I love to place all of those on various, like, very random Super Bowl MVPs, like the, you know, like the Jerick McKinnons of the world or like the Hardmans of the world and so on. Right. Marchese, what's on your bet card for today? What are you betting on for Super Bowl Sunday?
So I feel like this is one of those weird Kenny Gainwell days.
Okay.
So I like Kenny Gainwell anytime touchdown +275. I like Kenneth Gainwell over 33.5 rushing and receiving yards. I mean, the other one, and it does kind of feel like you're stealing money. Travis Kelce anytime touchdown at -120. I mean, that just, to me, that... you never feel like something is too easy, but that kind of feels too easy for me. The other one I do like, show, like you said, I think it was you. Was it you or was it? I think it was you that said the Jerick McKinnon anytime touchdown.
That was Danielli.
See, this is Sunday morning. Matt is very confused. I do like that one as well. How about Travis Kelce? Like, if you're talking about maybe a couple of long shots for Super Bowl MVP, Travis Kelce +1100, I think I saw. Maybe I'm wrong there. And then the other one, if you want a nice long shot on a guy, one of those, not boom or bust wide receivers, but he could end up having a monster day and you wouldn't be surprised. How about Devontae Smith?
Okay.
For your Super Bowl MVP. And I will get these props because apparently I cannot find them. So I will work on that part before we finish off this show. But yeah, those ones I like a lot.
Devontae Smith, yeah, that's not a bad one. Again, like I said, the kind of like really random outside of the box Super Bowl MVPs, like the Hassan Reddicks of the world and so on. Those are the ones I love putting some dollars.
Okay, here
down.
I got them here. Yeah, so yeah. Travis Kelce on Bet365 is plus 1400 for Super Bowl MVP. Devontae Smith is plus 2800.
Wow.
For Super Bowl MVP.
That's not bad. I like those ones. For me, I mentioned before that I am a big fan of the Danielle had a good way to describe it, like the novelty bets, because I love the novelty bets. I love, as much as I enjoy watching the big game itself, I do genuinely enjoy watching the halftime show and like judging it immediately, like, you know, being a prisoner of the moment. Like, where is this in the all time? Is this better than Prince? Is it better than Bruce Springsteen? Is it better? You know, I'm a big sucker for it. I will completely own up to that. My bet was, the odds on this may have changed. I think it was plus 700 last time I checked, but the first song Rihanna sings being Lift Me Up, which is her Oscar nominated song that was the credit song from Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And I think, you know, I'm a big, like, it's almost like a conspiracy. Like, I honestly thought that the reason J-Lo agreed to do the halftime show recently was because that particular year, there was a real chance she could have been nominated for an Oscar. And that particular year, the Oscar nominations had not yet come out. So, or pardon me, the due date for the actual, the winners had not yet happened yet. So maybe she wanted to like be in the limelight so she could get a couple more votes. I totally 1000% subscribe to all that nonsense. So I like Lift Me Up to be the first Rihanna song sung. I like the last Rihanna song sung to be Diamonds. I don't know if you can still put bets on those at different books. I know those may have closed. I like Performer to be on stage with Rihanna. I'm going heavy on ASAP Rocky, who is her partner and the father of her child as well. They've been together for quite some time. So and I don't think Rihanna has performed with him like since like 2013 or 2014. So if there was anyone, like, I almost like ASAP Rocky more than I like Drake or more than I like Jay-Z, although Jay-Z is the next one even before Drake. And just because we talk about football on this program, I'll give you an actual real one. I do like Dallas Goedert to score an anytime touchdown. And I believe the over-under for Dallas Goedert's receiving prop, last I checked, was 48.5. I think he's going to smash that receiving prop. Like, I think he's going to, I don't know if the Eagles win. I am picking them to win. I don't know if that ends up happening in the end, Marchese, but 48.5 receiving for Goddard seems pretty low when you think about all the other options that are going to occupy the Chiefs DBs on the field today.
Yeah, I do like that. That does feel really low. Again, sometimes when it feels like it's stealing money, it's usually not. But that one I do like. How about this one? I just saw this, and I don't know what the number is, but Rihanna total songs performed, I'm seeing the line set at 9.5.
Oh, I'm taking the over. Take the over, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I'm taking the over. Because here's the thing. She gave an interview the other day saying that she found a way to crush 17 years worth of her music catalog into, I think it was 15 minutes, she said. And if that's the case, I think I might take the over. She sounded very optimistic, although it might just be some smoke and mirrors stuff. Coach speak from Rihanna before
she's
the Super
trying
Bowl.
To drive. She's trying to drive the line down.
Yeah, she is. That's funny. 9.5, eh? But you're going under.
I don't. It feels like a lot, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Well, we'll see. Matt, look, we did a lot of couple fantasy questions today. We did some betting today. This was fun, though. This was the last fantasy show of the season. This was a lot of fun doing this with you.
Yeah, as always, thank you to our listeners and everybody that participated on the text line and tweeted us. And of course, thank you to Austin Mackey, who does a great job on the board for us. Such a beauty. And show, of course, thank you to you for hosting this fine program. And maybe we'll do some pods ahead of free agency and draft season.
I think we will. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, Matt. That's Matt Marchese. I look forward to doing the off-season pods with you. I'm Show Ali. That does it for the fantasy show. I'll be back in the summer for all the fantasy football goodness. I love this show. One of my favorite things we do on the network. Until the summer, for Austin, for Matt, I'm Show. Have a terrific time at your Super Bowl parties. You've been listening to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.